Don't ruin the theater of this show.
Oh, you actually still recording?
Hello and welcome to Across the Park, the only award-winning sports show on 2SER, as far as we are aware. Hasn't it been an interesting week in sport? First we had that thing with the ball, and then that match that no one saw coming. Oh my, we have literally things to discuss. And by we, I mean myself, Joel Kasem, as well as other people, people of whom I'm about to introduce right now. Right now. First up is a woman who had, and I don't think I'm being overdramatic here, her birthday this week. It's Gabby Morris.
Yay! It was my birthday.
Happy birthday, Gabby.
Thank you, Joel.
You're welcome. I'll continue.
Yeah.
and joining us for the first time is the captain of the Australian women's handball team. It's Emma Guinea.
Whoa!
Thanks for having me.
Guys.
First captain on the show.
First captain.
Wow.
That's really cool.
Very privileged.
Yeah. We are privileged. You're an athlete.
Please don't be privileged. You do far more than we do.
Well,
far
I'm
more
excited,
than we ever could.
I'm excited.
Yeah. That's
great.
Thank you. Hi, Emma.
Hello.
Thanks for coming on.
My pleasure.
First time on the radio.
I know. It's exciting.
You're a pro already.
Thank you. Yeah. You've nailed it.
Don't be too good, because
we need
might take your job.
Yeah,
and we can't take your job because it's handball.
I'm just ordering some dinner.
don't ruin the dinner of this show.
Oh, you actually still recording?
Wow. Hello and welcome to Across the Park, a sports show on 2SER. This week on the show, both Dennis and Mr. Wilson are ashamed that they have never learned to whistle and try everything they can think of, including eating very sour cherries, to be able to do so.
What?
What? Oh, I mixed this up with Dennis the Menace again.
I don't understand. What?
It's okay, I'm a professional. I'm an award winner.
Yeah.
I can go on.
Keep telling us.
Well, we are, so deal with it. Not that it's any of your business, but Joel Kasem is my name, and I'm joined in the studio by two other humanoids. First up is a woman who admitted this week that she's self-partnered. It's Gabby Morris.
Yes. Did I?
Did you?
What does that mean?
I'm not sure what it means. Emma Watson said it.
Oh.
And I don't know what it means because I didn't bother.
Is it a type
look.
Of... sexuality?
Possibly.
Oh.
You can talk if you like.
Oh. our other guest
I'll introduce
raised,
you in a sec,
raised
but
her hand.
Feel free to talk before I do.
Well, I didn't know because I hadn't been introduced if I was allowed to speak.
I was going
to
introduce you about 25 past
but
seven.
If
and then...
you do want to speak, you must always raise your hand beforehand.
I'm so courteous.
Yeah.
But I did read the article about Emma Watson, and being self-partnered is basically like she is just in a relationship with herself. Like she's happy being single. She feels most alive and happy when independent.
Okay.
Yeah.
Story has she ever been life. In a relationship?
I think she has.
Oh, okay.
I just think at this point in her life.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think she's good.
Okay.
Okay. And that voice belongs to an actor, semi-professional surfer, environmentalist, and above all, Gabby's best friend.
Yes!
It says it to Jocelyn.
My life is complete.
That sound.
That's me doing an air horn.
That is amazing.
I just threw that in.
How did you, when did I do that on air?
That was a long time ago. And it's just sitting on this.
I need that. This is like a beat mixer that I can just play repeatedly.
I want that to be my ringtone for when you call me. I'm like, oh,
there
it's
you go.
Gabby.
Yeah,
you did that really well.
Yeah, thank you.
You could have this if you want, Tessa.
Yeah. Never walk alone. Never walk alone. Never walk alone. Never walk alone. Not together, but never alone. Never walk alone.
I forgot how long it is.
Wow.
It's too long.
It's truly
scoring
terrifying.
Balls in the back of the net. Having a good time.
There you go.
You can actually download that ringtone from our website if you go to acrossthepark.com.au and subscribe and then you get it for free.
Hey, is there a website with acrosstheparc.com? Let's have a look.
Oh, no. Anyway, Tessa DeJocelyn's here.
Oh, hi, Tessa. We will talk about you in a sec.
Oh, totally fine.
I swear.
I'm into these ringtones and sound effects. It's great.
There is an acrosstheparc.com website.
Oh, don't tell us what it is.
Justin from Bizarro World is what it says.
Oh, God. Don't go there.
No, I won't.
Nah.
We'll come to it another time.
Nah.
Hi, Tessa.
G'day, Joel.
How are you going?
Good, thanks.
Thanks for coming onto the show. And thanks, Gabby, for being friends with you.
I know, right? How lucky am I?
How lucky am I? We're both lucky.
Oh, this just becomes a mush fest. It's like when Joel's mum and my mum came on the radio. They both just talked about how much they loved us and we just talked about how much we loved them.
Yeah,
that's why we have this radio show.
Declare your love.
Yeah.
All right, Tessa. We were going to ask you a whole heap of questions about you and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But before we do, Mick told both of us, Gab and I, that he was going to be back this week for the show. He then turned around this week and said, oh, no, you know what? I'm not back till Saturday. So I had written all these questions for him and I was hoping I could just ask you and maybe you could just have a go at answering them.
Okay, sure.
Sure, great. Thank you so much.
Wait, can I just ask how many there are, Joel?
2.
Okay, great.
Well, we'll see how we go.
Because even if Mick was here, I wouldn't have actually cared how his holiday went. And I don't think anyone else
would. Can we do that next week?
Okay, yeah.
We won't even talk to him about his holiday.
No, we won't ask the question.
Bring it up.
We don't need to anymore. Everyone's got Instagram and Facebook. I already know.
Yeah,
he's
exactly.
He's sinking beers and having a good time.
Exactly. Okay, so Mick, welcome back.
Thanks, Joel. Thanks, Gab. It's good to be here.
Yeah.
What was the highlight of your trip to Vietnam?
Definitely sinking a couple of tinnies with my wife and 2 kids.
Oh, he's had a couple of babies on the way.
Don't know if that's truth or not truth.
That's all right. I'll try another one. when we won the award while you're away, what did you think when you found out?
Oh, I was stoked. We deserve it. We're the best radio show on air.
Very good. This is coming from a professional actor.
Exactly.
Oh, no, you stitched me up.
No. Thanks, Tessa.
Yeah, you're welcome.
All right, we will actually talk to you about you. Gab?
Yeah, Tessa, so you are the first... Okay, let's put it this way. First best friend on air. Right? First semi-professional surfer. Sorry, not on air. On this show.
Yep.
First professional actor on this show. We've hit the big time.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of big time hats. She's wearing a lot of hats right now.
Yes.
And we're
ticking
all the
boxes. Headphones on.
Yeah. But she has. So we brought you on. You've got a very colourful surfing career. Joel's been learning to surf for a long time.
No, actually, I'm glad you brought this up.
Yeah, okay. Let's go there.
Because you've done a bit of teaching in your time, right?
Mm-hmm.
So last year I was like, you know what? I'm going to buy a surfboard. I'm going to learn to surf. Spoke to Gab about it for a while. Ended up buying a surfboard way too small.
Right? And I told him.
My fault. My fault. Completely my fault. Did Gab take me out for any surfing lessons? None.
I'm not going to take you surfing on a board that's smaller than you. You're never getting
it. You need to learn, even if it's just like on the sand.
Well, that's a different matter. Maybe we should ask Tessa, the ex-surfing instructor, also on a reality TV show called
Manly Surf School.
Obviously.
I think it was just called Manly Surf.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So what was the premise of that show?
Wow, you've dug deep. That is like
pre-teen?
Pre-everything. The premise of that show was, it was kind of like a human interest story where it used the vessel, which was the surf school, and the surfing instructors to tell the story of the students coming through and learning to surf. So we had, I think his name was Paul DeGelder, the ex-Navy SEAL who lost his leg. He learned to surf. And then we had, you know, all these different people from all walks of life come and learn to surf.
The universal sport.
Yeah, it was kind of like this very uplifting, like Australian Story style show, documentary, where I was just myself.
Teaching people.
Just teaching.
Mm.
Yeah, but yeah, and you know, like getting involved in their lives. And
what's the most frustrating thing about when you're teaching someone to surf, when they're not listening to you, or they just, what is it that's like the most annoying when you're like, oh God, here we go, here comes this rookie?
It's literally what you just said, when they don't listen. Like, you're on the sand and you're telling them everything about, like, how not to drown, how not to, like, get smacked in the head with their board, how not to get stuck in a rip. And they're just like, yeah, 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 whatever, we got it, we got it, we got it. It's usually teenage boys.
Oh.
And then you get out there and, you know, they haven't listened, they think they've got it, which is what, you know, everyone wants to have a go, I get it. But then, you know, soon they realize they... Back on the beach, boys. We're doing the talking again.
Is there a lot of rescuing involved?
I mean, I've never had to, like, fully rescue someone, like any of my students. Everyone's safe at all times, and it has been a long time since I was, like, working at Manly Surf School. But, yeah, you do have to be mindful, like, because people go out there thinking that they know what they're doing, and they don't. And the ocean, she's a wild...
She's a wild
woman.
Beast.
She will make you
know
it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really crazy. So you moved on and you've been surfing your whole life. You were semi-professional for a while. I'll call you that. You were sponsored, right?
Yeah, sponsored and Spon-o'd. Competitive. Yeah.
So give us some of the surf lingo. So I just said one of them. What does spon-o'd mean, Joel?
Oh, I didn't even hear you say that.
Oh, what's spon-o'd mean?
Use it in a sentence.
Oh, yeah. Sick, I just got spon-o'd.
Oh, it has to have something to do with ordering some sort of caviar.
Shit.
What is it?
I just got sponsored.
Oh, spon-o'd.
Spon-o'd.
Obviously.
Well, why didn't you get it?
No, yeah. I'm talking to... Yeah, sorry.
And what's some spon-o'd? Other lingo that you gnarly dudes do?
You put her on the spot. So
no, I mean, I have lots on my sleeve. I just feel like gnarly is one of my favorite
yeah,
ones.
Yeah, gnarly is good.
Gnarly. I love it when my mum particularly talks about surfing because she uses the terms, but she's not a surfer, but my dad and my older brother are. So we're like a family of surfers. We, you know, our family home's like on the beach at Narrabeen. So we would just talk about surfing nonstop. So then when mum would start talking about, like, oh, you know, was it choppy, were there any A-frames? And I'm like, whoa, mum. Like, you know, over
was it offshore? Yeah. I love it when my mum goes, oh, was it offshore?
Yeah. So when she starts using terms, I'm like, wow, you've really absorbed just everything that we've been rambling on about for the last 30 years.
Oh my God, that's too good.
Yeah.
And so you went to surfing and then obviously you started acting.
Mm-hmm.
And you started getting some roles here and there, doing some ads, and then you hit the big icon, right? Mm-hmm. You hit Home and Away, and your character was also a surfer.
Yeah, I mean, I was cast, and then I think production found out that I could surf like reasonably well, and so they kind of wrote that into the character.
Yeah, right.
Post me starting.
And how long were you on Home and Away for?
It was about 2 years all up.
And what was your character's name?
Billy.
Billy. Billy, yeah. Billy, Billy.
Billy Ashford. Or Belinda Ashford.
Oh.
Yeah.
Tessa's character went through the rim roll. Like, it was an epic character to play, right? You had a lot of different storylines, a lot of crazy stories.
Yeah.
And you got to surf.
And I got to surf sometimes, yeah. I mean, not a lot. There was a lot more just kind of carrying boards and walking up the beach and in like a cute swimsuit.
Classic Home and Away shot.
Yeah. There was one time that we actually went surfing and then there was a shark scare, so they quickly
stopped.
Yeah,
what was that?
That was when I was out with a fellow co-star, Bonnie Sveen, who played Ricky. And, yeah, we were just shooting like a surfing sequence and I'm sure that'll be the last time that happens because there was just, you know, we weren't in any like intense danger, but I mean, I feel like I should say that because I'm on air, but there was a couple of sharks and yeah, we were out of the water pretty quickly and we were safe and nothing happened. But
yeah,
I think after that, they were like, you know, that's chill. That's chill. We don't need to do that.
It's like you forget that you're in the ocean and you're surfing in Australia and there's definitely always sharks around. It's like, we're just going to film anyway, action. You're like, oh God.
They're out there anyway. It's their home.
Exactly. Without any major spoilers, Tessa, for those who haven't seen the show, what happened to your character?
She died.
Oh!
Spoiler.
Probably shouldn't have had the clap then, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a weird sound effect.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was actually really upset
because it's
when
quite
she
dramatic.
Died. Yeah.
It is, I'm sorry.
Like, it was a dramatic... I cried when I watched it.
Did really? You?
Yeah.
Did you know it was going to happen?
I did know it was going to happen, but like obviously watching your best friend die on national television in this really obviously dramatic, heightened space, you're like, Tessa, no.
How and I was away at the time as well. Yeah. I remember when Ed, I was in LA, so it was like, you probably like hadn't seen
him. No, I hadn't seen him for so long. I was like, come back, Tessa. Why are you on Palm Beach without me?
How did your character die?
So pass. She passed over
to neighbors.
Yeah, out one door into the next. She got lung cancer.
Oh,
because she gave birth in a bushfire.
Every time it makes no sense.
No. Well, I mean, Summer Bay, there's a lot of catastrophes.
Yeah, you were in a plane crash.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
She gave birth. That's crazy.
It was, yeah. It's just... She was raped. It was a really intense.
Oh, God.
It was a very... I mean, okay. A lot of the storylines are very, you know, it's a soap opera.
It's a cycle.
So, yeah. There's a lot of, you know, a lot of drama. A lot of drama.
Yeah.
So you're still acting now.
Yes.
And you still do TV, film, but you've also mm-hmm. doing a lot of voiceover work. Mm-hmm. And you've also started and continued. You've been studying it your whole life, but moved on to do a master's in environmental sciences.
Yes.
Which is very exciting. But I think we've got a little grab of those two combining, your acting and your environmental awareness coming to one.
Oh, okay. The biggest test this summer won't be on the cricket pitch. It'll be in the laundry. Full loads only. I always do cold water cycles so I can mix my whites and colours. Saves time, saves water. How's that for an idea?
And you got the cricket in there
as
well.
I know. It's just too bloody perfect.
That's amazing.
It's so good.
That you found that.
I know, right? The segue was beautiful.
It really was. I'm impressed.
Yeah,
me
too.
It just fits perfectly.
Yeah. So it's funny that you do, like, obviously, like, those things not always tie over or kind of work together. But mm-hmm. you're also working on some other projects out of all your other stuff. So mm-hmm. you've sort of started a new project, which is called Yikes, if you want to tell us a bit more about this project.
Yeah, so Yikes is an ongoing film night that runs out of the underground space at Frida's.
In Chippendale,
yeah. Yep. And essentially, I just wanted to start something where we could create a space, a very non-judgmental space to learn about our environmental issues. So I reached out to my friend Bella and we've been running these events. We've had two so far and the third one is December 5th. Where essentially we screen an environmental documentary and then pull together a panel of people who are in the field, you know, scientists, you know, film producers, anyone who's kind of like involved or would be interesting to talk about that particular issue. And then we have a panel discussion following and it's been really good so far.
How many have you done so far?
So we've done two.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they've been really good?
They've been great.
Yeah, they're great. They're really great. And it's like a fun space to be in because, as you said, it's not judgmental, but then you also get to hear from, as you said, the perspectives of the people creating and making the film.
Yeah.
And you kind of, people are problem solving at the same time. So you're kind of thinking about, well, what about this and what about this? Like, how do we, you know, start these conversations in different ways and educate people, which is cool. It's really exciting.
So December 5th, you said, is the next
December
one, right?
December 5th, yeah. And our next event is going to look at the environmental impacts of the fashion industry.
Ah, cool.
Yeah.
And what are they? Like, I guess overconsumption?
Well, overconsumption is a big one. There's so many. Plastics, the amount of water that it takes. Mm. There's a lot of social impacts of, you know, like the factories over in developing countries, yeah. like especially like Bangladesh, you've heard about, a lot of those issues. Yeah. So there's a lot of human rights as well as environmental impacts of the fashion industry that I think just get lost in such a long chain of production.
Yeah.
And so as consumers, you just buy something, you don't really realize where it's come from and how it's been made and how that is actually having an impact on the environment and on the local communities who are making them.
And I think there has been a lot of talk about the ethics around fashion, but it's interesting to now look at the environmental impacts. You know, people talk about fast fashion all the time and the impacts on communities in developing countries, but the environmental stuff is just as much of an impact too.
Yeah.
But they're all different, right? Every screening is like, the last one was about saving the reef, the Great Barrier Reef. So they're all,
And the first one was about the fossil fuel industry with 350.org.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's free.
And it's free.
Completely free.
You can come and get a beer and sit and watch a doco and just learn. It's kind of like this little cute learning party that I've like disguised as
a cool thing to do with your mates. Yeah.
I'm like, come and learn for free.
And the event is called Yikes, so yes. You can check it out on Instagram and Facebook.
Yeah.
Y-I-K-E-S.
That's right.
Woohoo! Yes. So you can check out the next screenings and all the information about that, which is cool. And we were talking about this. Well, we've spoken about this, but we were sort of mentioning how the crossover between climate change or climate action actually really affects and impacts the sporting industry.
Definitely.
Things like surfing, things like actually we know like marathon runs with the big bushfires that have come through and cancelled big marathon runs, or tennis and cricket players being they've changed the rules for tennis. So they've given them 10-minute increments to break so they can play in 35-degree heat. And we were just talking about how, like, what will the future hold? Like, I think it'll be so interesting in the next 100 years. Like, we probably won't be able to play summer cricket. Like, they've just moved the Olympics now to winter in Quran. So it's like, how do we change the sport that we're playing?
Yeah.
And still continue it?
Like, sports will evolve, right?
We'll have to.
They'll have to change, and I don't know, ice hockey.
Yeah.
Just become hockey, but wet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, within surfing, they've just opened a wave pool in Melbourne, and there's wave pools popping up all over the world and in Australia. And I think there's now beginning to be studies looking into the effects of climate change on wave height and the winds and stuff. But I mean, as far as like erosion goes and sea level rise, that's definitely going to have an effect on our beautiful breaks, like a lot of the sandbar breaks and point breaks.
Yeah. I mean, even coral reefs, if they're dying, we're going to lose those really good reef breaks.
Yeah.
I mean, it's selfish, but it's also it's a good way of engaging audiences that may not be interested in climate change.
A lot of people play social sports or do stuff like surfing and stuff like that you can do on weekends or whatever. So, yeah, everyone's going to be affected.
And Tessa and I play on our social soccer team, which I talk about a lot. But they've...
No, you've never mentioned.
They've...
what are we called, Gabs?
The Tata Honeys.
But one ref once said the Tata Honeys.
Like, no, goddammit. We're honeys. It was interesting that the organisation sent out an email saying, due to the unforeseen weather and this catastrophic weather changes, like, we actually can't... The fields are closed because they're too dry and we can't, you know, keep up with putting water on them and getting the grass to grow. Yeah. And they directly address the fact that this weather is unprecedented and that climate change is real. And it's interesting from like a Sydney social soccer space that we're even getting spoken to about climate change and how it directly impacts the things that we do, which is just playing soccer.
Yeah.
And hopefully those messages will be coming from all directions. So people who aren't engaged or learning will kind of be going, oh, okay, well, I got the shits now. I can't play soccer. And it's like, yeah, dude, because of the weather, because of us.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like you'd hope that those kind of things will evolve.
Start adding up as well. Yeah.
Totally.
Before we move on, Tessa, we just brought up the social soccer.
Yeah.
And so I've got to ask, on a scale of like 1 to 10, with 1 being better and 10 being way better, how much better are you in Gab? At soccer.
Wait, what was the spectrum?
So 1 is better, 10 is way better.
Doesn't make any sense.
None of it is true.
Who's better?
I don't know.
It's a safe space. You can.
Is it?
I can turn Gab off.
Gabs is really good at soccer.
I thought you were like, Gabs is really good at giving noogies, so I'm not going to answer.
Yeah, well, Gabs is also really good at giving noogies and pushing me into bushes when I'm least expecting it. So I'm going to also just say she's better because fear is a big thing.
That's good answer.
Correct answer. Wait.
Aw. Yay.
See, I'm trying to use the touch screen.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm not very good at it. So, do we talk sport now? How much time have we got left? Not long. 7 minutes.
That was my plan all along because I hate talking about sport.
We don't have to talk about any sport.
No, we should talk about Sam Kerr, though.
Okay.
My
sport!
Absolute... You should do the content.
It's not on this computer.
Content!
Good one.
Sam Kerr just got signed a huge deal with Chelsea.
It's reported that it's $2 million for 2 years.
Which would mean...
It's $1 million a year.
Doesn't it mean that she's one of the highest paid female...
Yeah, one of the highest ever, yeah.
And especially in soccer, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know about any sport, but definitely soccer.
It just goes... Like, she would... What a week for her. they just got paid. So the Matildas just got paid the same amount as the Socceroos.
That's right.
Which has never been done before. So huge, huge triumph for the Matildas. And then in the same week, she's like, cool, got some money. Got even more money. Just signed with Chelsea.
Yeah.
It's huge.
And not only that, the Matildas had two games this week against Chile in Australia.
Yeah.
They beat them twice. I think she scored both goals in the first game to win.
And she's still so young. I'm like, oh, you go, girl.
26.
Yeah. 26. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
They also played to record crowds in Australia.
On the Saturday game.
The Saturday one in Sydney was to like 20,000 people.
Whoa.
And the previous record in Sydney was like 10,000.
Wow, that's amazing.
It. Yeah. And then they did the same in Adelaide, but there's not that many people in Adelaide. So
I wonder if they probably already, maybe, and this is me being just coming up with some theories, but they knew about the salary packaging changing and just said that the week before their game in Sydney, because that would have just, that hype around in the news would have just got, because I was like, oh yeah, I'm going to go. I didn't go, but lots of people did.
Yes, well done. That's very true.
Just thinking about marketing and advertising.
I want to talk about golf really quickly.
Do you?
Sorry.
Tessa looks a little bit like a golfer, actually.
1970s? You ever play golf, Tessa?
You know what? No.
Really?
I played once on a family holiday to the Blue Mountains. We stayed at the Fairmont, and I was my main role was carrying the bag.
Caddy.
I was caddy. Yeah.
Do you not play at all?
No.
Oh.
No.
It's actually really fun to go to the driving range.
No, golf is fun.
No, golf is not fun.
It's fun.
Driving range is really fun. Sink a few tinnies, smash the ball.
That's why you do golf.
That sounds like anger management.
Very good.
So we love a bit of like awkward grabs on this show. We get a lot of people saying weird things and we'd like to play them back. Actually, this whole show is pretty much that. Now, there's a golf event coming up in December down in Melbourne, called the President's Cup, where an American team take on an international team. I think they do it every year and they play all over the world. Anyway, Tiger Woods is the captain of the American team. And I don't think since like 1994 has a captain actually played. But as he was picking his team, he picked himself and then started to talk in the third person. It's really weird. So I got to
wait. It's not a joke.
It's not a joke. This is it.
How are we rounding out the team?
Yeah, as captain, I'm going to choose Tiger Woods as the last player on the team.
That's Tiger Woods talking.
He's made, what, 9 cups, and he's played in Australia twice in the President's Cup. So this will be his third appearance there as a player. And I find it interesting I'm talking in third person.
I was going to say, third person Tiger is now my favorite Tiger. So let's see what we can do here.
I'm just having fun with it, you know.
Third person Tiger is not my favorite Tiger.
That is the most awkward thing.
How uncomfortable.
I think I might do that more often, though, just to confuse people. Gabby Morris, yeah, she had a great weekend.
Right. We'll finish the show just talking about ourselves in third person.
I just, it's not even, like, he was like, yeah, I just thought it would be a little bit of fun. It's
yeah.
Like, is it?
It wasn't
it's not fun.
She,
for
she was really awkward. She looked at the camera like,
is he then, okay?
Yeah.
Wait, I mean, was he just having a laugh or he was being
I
serious?
Think after a while he was like, oh, no one's laughing.
Yeah, I think he's gone too far. Yeah. It's like we were saying when you do an American accent and you're like, no, nobody found that funny and you don't want to repeat it. It's like he'd gotten to a point where he's like, I got to commit.
Yes.
Shit. Oh, no.
All right, quickly in tennis before we play a game. The 45-year drought continues for Australia as we lost the Fed Cup yet again. So the Fed Cup is like this all-women's tournament played. You got a text on the show. You have to read it out loud.
Oh, it's true.
But there's lots of them.
There was like 20 text messages there.
This is much more famous actually, and popular than we are. So
yeah, yeah. It's her agent. She's like, get off the show right now.
You've said too much.
You've said too much. You've ruined your career. What do you want to cross the park for?
Basically, it's my friend
Jen
saying...
You don't
saying,
really have to read it.
Oh,
Tessa.
Write it.
No, now everyone's going to want to know. No, what did Jenna say?
She said...
Just give the last two.
She says, actually, I'll be friggin' fine and in Redfern about 8:30. And then Georgia says she's waiting. Everyone's waiting.
She's got a long wait.
Whoa. There's a line out the door for Tessa. She's that famous.
Hey, that sounds a little mean.
What?
You're slack, Gab.
No, I meant that seriously. Wow. You've literally got people...
banding.
Mo, I'm gay. Can you believe?
Brown cow.
Die. Hello.
Hello.
I think that was really beautiful.
I think it was too.
I think we did a really good job.
I think
that
we
one.
Did too. Yeah. High five. Just
great.
We did it. Okay. Good job.
You're listening to It's a Gay Area on 2SCR 107.3 and Joy FM 94.9.
And I'm Patrick.
And I'm Ruby.
And we're here to say we love you.
Yeah, but also other things.
Like Happy Yes Vote Day.
Happy Yes Vote Day.
Yeah, it's 2 years since the Yes Vote.
Yeah.
Where the country voted and 60% of them said, yeah, anyone who is gay may marry whatever they want. Yeah. Ruby married a cardboard cutout of Kylie Rae Jepsen.
It's
and
true.
I married Lyle Shelton against his will.
And it's crazy. Only it's only just a year ago that our government insisted on putting people through the Yes campaign, but also through the No campaign.
2 years.
And
I thought it was 1 year too. It was 2 years.
2 years of that.
Yeah. I still have trauma.
2 years of signs of it's okay to say no and total fuckwits deciding that, like, it's super cool to, like, make children feel invalidated by their gay parents.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. it's a happy day. It is absolutely a happy day. But you know what? It's also an angry day because, you know, we need to be reminded of the fact that our fucking government put us through a vote, a non-binding postal vote. At any point after that postal vote, they could have been like, no. Actually, oh, you 60% of you voted yes? Well, it's actually up to us, and we can just say no.
Mm. And
sorry.
my dick gets I'm Scott Morrison or whoever was Prime Minister at this point, I forget. Someone racist.
It was Malcolm Turnbull.
Someone racist. And he looked at men and he just said, why are you kissing? I don't like it.
But yeah, so that's what's happening.
It's okay though because they're still neglecting something, but this time it's just fires.
Yeah,
everything is just on fire.
Mm.
Is it climate change?
They're,
we don't know.
Yeah, no, I hate Scott Morrison.
I do too.
I'm just gonna come right out and say it. I hate him.
He looks like he has a fat head.
Well, this, when you look at it, but it's just I hate him.
Yeah,
you know. Thoughts and prayers, my
call
fucking
in right
butthole,
now if
dude.
You hate Scott Morrison. I'm calling.
Ring, ring. We got a fun show.
We do have a fun show, actually.
We have a fun show. We're actually, we're having a chat with Jackie Cunningham from Birdcage over at the Sly Fox.
Yeah.
About the closure of Sly Fox. Or the potential closure of Sly Fox.
I'm going to hope we revisit the story in a couple weeks, months, and we're just like, eh, it didn't shut.
Yeah, fingers crossed it comes to that point where we're like, remember when the Sly Fox was going to shut, but then it didn't? That was a funny time, and I'm glad that it's not a thing.
Remember
anymore.
When 12 fake people said they were upset by noises and gays?
12 angry people. You'll understand that reference later on in the show. But for now, we're going to play some music.
And what hot music it has today.
We're gonna play a track from Macy Rodman's new album.
When I say hot music, it's actually cold music because it's cold.
Brrr. This track is called Ice Giant. Bit of a language warning on this one. It's got a swear or two, maybe even more.
Yeah, and it is by Macy Rodman off her debut album Endless Kindness.
Yeah, and you're listening to It's a Gay Area on 2SCR 107.3 and Joy FM 94.9.
Stick around, we'll be right back.
You think you knew your heart.
Are you a passionate 2SER supporter but haven't received your T-shirt yet? Give us a call on 9514 9514 or email kat at 2SER.com so we can confirm your address and get that T-shirt to you in time for summer. That's 9514 9514 or kat, K-A-T, at 2SER.com. 2SER, celebrating 40 years of supporter-funded radio.
And you're back on 2SER with It's Gay Area with Ruby and Patrick and Joy FM 94.9.
Yeah. that was WYG, new single from a Sydney band, Mere Women.
Preceded by Ice Giant from Macy Rodman's new album, Endless Kindness.
Very cool stuff we got here. A lot of fun tunes.
Yes.
Fun tunes. And we're just going to jump right into it. We had a little chat with Jackie Cunningham from Birdcage at Sly Fox earlier on. And I'm going to play that interview for you because...
You deserve it.
It's good and you deserve it. So here that bad boy is. Thank you so much for joining us, Jackie. It's great having you on the show.
Yeah, happy to be here.
Oh, that's... Great. What a relief. Now, for the listeners at home who aren't really in the loop about what's going on, what exactly is the current situation with Sly Fox?
So basically, it's kind of a very long story, but in short, in 1996, they applied for they applied for a 24-hour license. And they were granted that, but they were only on, they were given a 1-year trial. Mm. And then essentially after the 1 year was up, the owners at the time didn't renew it. So they were essentially, well, technically trading, you know, illegally for 21 years. And then it wasn't until the lockout laws came in and the police and the councils were going through everyone's license and DA with a fine-tooth comb. And they realised that there was like this little loophole that they were basically trading without a without the license, without the 6 a.m. or 24-hour license.
Mm-hmm.
So they slapped them with all these fines, and then council basically said, "Look, if you pay the money, we'll allow you to continue trading with the license that you thought you had."
Yeah.
So they were kind of on their side, and they were helping them out with all the legalities of it. And then they essentially said you can't trade past 3, and then that's when they had to bring in the the silent disco headphones. And then that's been basically for the last 3 years they've been trading. They've got a 24-hour license, but they can't play amplified music past 3. Which is very frustrating. And then so they've poured all this money into soundproofing the place, and the council's been telling them everything that they need to do to kind of meet the regulations to get the license back that they have been trading under for all these years. And then out of nowhere, they've basically just pulled the rug out from underneath them and said, no, we're reneging on everything we've said in the past, and we're now going to kind of suggest that you go under a midnight license, which is essentially a small bar license.
Yeah.
And anyone who's been to Sly Fox before knows that no one goes there before 12 o'clock. It's a late night venue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is really important as well in this city. So,
yeah.
Yeah, that's basically where they're at in short, but, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And sort of the news and the reaction around the reduction or the reneging on the 24-hour license has been quite, like, alarming. Like, there's been, like, the petitions gone up, and there's, like, people writing to the council, of course. So if the license were to be reduced to that 12 a.m. license, what would that mean for Sly Fox and the events Sly Fox put on?
Well, after speaking to Kerry, one of the owners, they think that if they're given a midnight license, then that ultimately means they'll have to close down, because the whole business model has been made on this late night trade, you know. So it just won't work because it hasn't been set up that way. I mean, a lot of the events are, you know, live bands, and a lot of it's kind of like clubbing, and they're used to being open till 6 a.m. for decades now, so it'd be really hard to kind of remodel the whole place.
Yeah, and a lot of the stuff starts at like 9.
Absolutely,
right?
And like for anyone who's ever been to Birdcage, which you manage, Jackie, it's just you wouldn't really go there before 9, and
no, not at all.
Leaving before 12 is only for if you are tired.
Yeah,
very very tired. So I can absolutely see what it means if
definitely.
License were reduced to that early. And sort of going on from that, what do you think the reason for the council's intervention or reneging on this is?
Well, as far as I know, it has to do with them applying for the 24-hour license, and as part of that, as part of lodging that application, you have to be open for people to basically say, no, I don't want that to happen in the area.
Yeah.
And I think they got 12 complaints or people being against the application in the area. But then they later found out that some of those came from, like, fake addresses and stuff.
Great.
So,
what sort of...
Yeah, so it's all a little bit bizarre, but I think the actual limit is 12. I mean, once you get past 12, that's when the council says, no, your application is denied. So it was pretty weird that it was exactly 12 and some of those people were coming from fake addresses.
Yeah. You know, I mean, some homophobic boobers. Homophobic boomers are just sitting there making a fake Yahoo 7 mail account.
It's like, my name is John Guy. I live at 123 Fake Street in Enmore, though, specifically behind the Sly Fox. And it's just much too loud.
Yeah, it was people who kind of, I think they owned the whole block and they were basically putting in all of these complaints from their tenants when the tenants didn't even get, they didn't even know anything about it.
It's all property managers. Let's be real.
It's all landlords.
But that's a whole other can of worms. So what exactly? Because Sly Fox, as we know, is kind of like this beacon of light for the Sydney queer community. You know, you've got Birdcage, which is, like, you know, well known to the entirety of Sydney as, like, one of the best events for, like, queer women and non-binary people. And I guess just, like, the whole LGBT community
and
in,
like,
general.
Especially younger queer people as well.
Yeah, like, exactly. And, like, and then, you know, you've got your queer comedy nights. There's so many, like, kind of queer-centric things going on at Sly Fox. So what do you think the loss of Sly Fox would do to the Sydney and specifically the Inner West queer scene?
Well, I mean, you're completely right. It's been an institution for a really long time. Like, even before my time, there was a huge kind of drag king nights that have been around, like, this, I'm talking decades ago, you know. So this venue is really, really iconic in the queer community. And since the lockout came in 2016, it's like the amount of safe spaces in this area are slowly diminishing. So it's pretty huge. I mean, if we lose this venue, then it's going to be really heartbreaking for a lot of people in the scene and the community. So I think it's definitely worth fighting for.
Oh, absolutely, myself included. I look forward to every Wednesday getting a message from a group chat just full of gays just going, Birdcage tonight.
And
not being there would be, like, no joke, a genuine tragedy.
Yeah, I know. And I mean, even not just Birdcage, there's loads of other queer events that happen there on the weekends, like Barber and Girl Thing's been there, and name a few. I'm sure there's loads of others, but it'd be a huge, huge loss for the community. So,
and you don't there's really not a lot of events, like, comfortable events for queer women.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I was Sydney Morning Herald called me the other day to chat about it as well, and they actually asked, you know, why doesn't Birdcage just go to another venue if Sly Fox closed down? Why wouldn't you just move on? And I don't think there's really any other spaces that would be right for it, because, like I said before, it's not just any old, you can't just open any old venue and tell people to come, because there's the whole safe space aspect to it. And
Because that's something it develops.
Yeah.
The thing with Sly Fox is it's, like, close enough to Newtown for it to be considered a weird place, but far enough away that, like, it doesn't get the people who are coming into Newtown who are originally going to the Cross and are definitely going to shout slurs at you when you walk past.
And it's like, you know, the security guards are really, they just get it there, and all the managers kind of are on board, and it'll just be a whole, like, you'll be starting from scratch, moving somewhere else, you know. So Yeah, it's a stressful time for a lot of people, I think.
Yeah, and like speaking from your perspective as one of the sort of managers of like one of the flagship queer events at Sly Fox Birdcage, what personally to you would the loss of Sly Fox mean?
Personally? Oh, well, I mean, Birdcage has been a huge part of my life it's our 8th birthday in May. So, personally, I'd have to find a new normality, I think.
Yeah.
It's just been a huge part of my, not just my work, but my personal life. You know, mm-hmm. we're a little family there, and I don't just go there on Wednesdays. I'm there a lot. So, like I said before, it's a huge part of my life, and I'd have to really come to terms with it. And work through that.
Yeah, absolutely.
That heartbreak. Like,
and I would imagine that that would be felt by so many people, not even just the staff and, not even Sly Fox themselves, just, like, the community at whole. Like, it's like losing a second home almost.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. And all the staff members that are there, you know, they are so involved in the venue and they live and breathe it. And I think that's one of the reasons why this is so much media, because it's so sad that even think that we could be losing such an iconic venue, you know, in Sydney, where we've already lost so many venues.
So many. And so we don't want to do that. We don't want to lose Sly Fox.
No,
so
we don't.
Because of that, we need to rebel. We need to revolution. We need to support Sly Fox. So how can we do that? How can we support Sly Fox?
So at the moment they are signing a petition. They've got the option for people to sign a petition. And I think at the moment they've got over 5,000 names, which is huge.
Amazing.
compared to the 12 that, were against the application initially. So what you can do is if you go onto Sly Fox's Facebook page, there's a whole, it'll probably explain it a little bit better than me, but there's a whole spiel on exactly what's happened from when they took over or even previous to that with the old owners to now. And it's a really interesting read, so you should go check that out. And underneath that, there's links to all the petitions and the things you can sign and the things you can do to help them out.
You can also send through a letter of support to the Inner West Council supporting the action from Sly Fox, which is incredibly important. I think it would be really good to show the Inner West Council that you have 12 mostly fake people. We have 5,000 angry gays. So
And they're real too.
Yeah, they're real.
Yeah, that's
real
the scariest people. Thing of all, real angry gays.
Well, you can't argue with that, really.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, you guys are at 5,229 signatures and counting. It's still going up.
Yeah, so, and that's only in 2 days. So.
Yeah, that's amazing. It seems like a lot of people love Sly Fox.
It's like I said before, it's an institution. It's really important to so many subcultures in Sydney. We can't lose it.
Of course.
It can't happen.
And so basically everyone get on Facebook right now, read through the post on Sly Fox's page, send through your support to the council, sign the petition, share the petition, you can donate even, just go to Sly Fox. Go to Sly Fox and support it.
Go tonight.
And just do whatever you can to save this beacon of queer drinking and hope.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Jackie.
No, thanks for having me.
And that was Jackie Cunningham from Birdcage at Sly Fox, who had a little chat to us about Sly Fox and the possibility of it closing, but that doesn't mean that it has to.
Go to Facebook now.
Now.
Sly Fox.
Now.
Google.com/Sly Fox.
Remember, Sly Fox, keep it open.
Yeah, Sly Fox forever.
Sly Fox forever.
And that's us.
That's us done. You've been listening to It's a Gay Area on 2SCR 107.3 and Joy FM 94.9. Big thank you to our producers, Rhiannon and Silvio. Thank you. We love you so much.
And you know what? A big thank you to you, Ruby.
And a big thank you to you, Patrick. Stay tuned for Hardcore Classic. We're going to play a track from Princess Nokia. It's a new one. It's explicit. It's got naughty words. And it's called Balenciaga. And we got to go now.
What did you call me?
Balenciaga.
Oh, can you...
There. Longer than ever, with increasing needs to maintain health, wealth and wellness. To share information on these topics, the Chamber of Commerce CBD Sydney have organised Helping You and Your Family Age Well, a seminar from 5:30pm on November 21 at Clarence Chambers, 133 Castle Ray Street, Sydney. Join us to discuss ideas and options for you, your business and especially older members of your family. To register for a free ticket, email info@2ser.com or call 9514 9514.
Sketches looking like Balenciaga. Thrift clothes looking like the Prada. Whole fit lit, it cost me nada. Bitches always talking.